Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. And this week, I'm going to cover a topic that came up in the news. I like to be topical, of course. And I often talk about stuff that's just been published, say scientists who've made breakthroughs or advances in various kinds. But this is a story about aeroplanes, and this is the science of turbulence.
Now, anybody who's been watching the news and flies, like me, would have noticed these two stories, and they gave me a bit of a fright. Two incidents of severe turbulence on aeroplanes.
Now, one of which was Singapore Airlines, and one person died and 30 were injured when the plane that was flying for Singapore Airlines went into severe turbulence and all the people bounced around, especially some of the cabin crew, because they weren't strapped in, and the ones that didn't have seatbelts on, severe injuries. And the second one was in our own country, Ireland, and a flight, it was Qatar Airlines, was flying from Doha over Turkey, hit turbulence, and 12 people were injured. And it landed in Dublin, and 8 were taken to hospital. Now, mercifully, none of them were badly injured, unlike the Singapore flight, where there was sadly a fatality. And these happened within a few days of each other. And I fly a lot to conferences, and to, you know, my job involves a bit of flying here and there. And I saw, good Lord, I said, what's happening here? Is there an increase in turbulence happening? And I began to look into it. And I wouldn't be an expert on aerodynamics by any means, but I read some of the reports, and a friend of mine, actually, his father is an aeronautical engineer, and consulted with him and said, look, give me the bottom line on this. The good news, let's start with the good news, there isn't a massive increase in this at the moment, and flying remains an extremely safe form of travel, one of the safest, actually, much safer than driving in your car. So don't worry, it shouldn't put people off from flying, and that's good, I suppose. And then the second thing is, of course, the debate has begun, though, what about turbulence anyway? And is there any evidence it's on the increase? And even if it is increasing, you can mitigate against it, as I will explain. Now, if you're a scientist, you have to define things. And we have to define what is turbulence. It's clashing bodies of air moving at different speeds. There you have it, right? So if you're up in the air and there's two streams of air running along and they're different speeds and they clash into each other, and you happen to be in the middle of that, the plane will experience turbulence. And it is something that's been studied for a good few years. We all fly and we go through a turbulent patch occasionally. But there has been a lot of research over the years, because it's a big concern, obviously, for airlines. And it is the leading cause of injury on a plane. It costs the US airlines $500 million a year. And the reason why it's costing that much is people getting injured, rare enough as it is, which I'll come back to. But it's more like a bit of damage to the plane and delays and diversions because of it. They've calculated it's about $400 million a year is the cost to this. And I'll come back to what the issues are there in a few moments. So we've defined it, and then you dig into it a bit more if you're a true scientist. And there's three types. Us scientists love having numbers of things. The first type is called mountain wave turbulence. That's when the wind hits a mountain and goes up. And if you're flying over the Rockies, that massive rush of air will hit the plane and then knocks the plane about a bit, I suppose, is the idea. The second is called convective, and that's all about convection. Now, what that means is warm air gets heated up and rises rapidly. This can happen in a storm. And again, if you fly through that, the air rising will buffet the plane. It's also pressure changes are happening, by the way, and planes need a certain amount of air pressure to fly. And that change in air pressure can cause it to be knocked around. But the third one is the one that's most important, and the cause of the two incidents of turbulence. It's called clear air turbulence. There's no warning. There's no obvious huge amount of hot air coming along or mountains diverting air, and very hard to predict. Multiple causes, and I've looked into it a bit, and they're very hard to say, oh, we're coming into a clear air turbulence zone. Now, what they think is causing it at the moment, their theory is it's pockets of air coming off the jet stream. The jet stream is above 15,000 feet. There's a massive amount of air flowing at a high speed. Little bubbles of air are coming off that, they think, for some reason. And these bubbles of air are moving faster, different pressure. And if the plane flies into them, it experiences turbulence. And the big feature of clear air is the plane drops precipitously from the sky. And there's a frightening thing. And in fact, in the two cases we had of Singapore Airlines and Qatar, it was a massive drop. And of course, if you aren't strapped in, gravity, you rise up, don't you, and you bang your head. The poor old cabin crew were in the Singapore Airlines one, were pushing their trolleys along, and everything went up to the roof of the plane because of the drop, and that's where the injury happened. So clear air turbulence is the one that we're talking about. Three types. Now, the next part of the categorization is, and remember, we love categorizing things. I think we categorize things as scientists just to try and understand them, remember. And there could be subcategories of things, and then we can dig into each subtype. It makes the scientific problem into bite-sized chunks, you might think. So it's an important thing that we do as scientists. There are three, there's a scale of this. There's light turbulence, and that's, we all have that. That's when your seat belt tightens slightly and you feel pushed into the seat. The second is moderate. That will be, as happened to me recently on a flight, you've got a cup of coffee and it falls off your tray in front, you know, it's in front of you, because the plane's getting knocked around a bit into your lap normally. That doesn't harm you unless it's scalding hot, of course. The third is the severe type, and that's much stronger than gravity. If you're wearing a seatbelt, you'll really be pinned into your seat. You'll feel that. And of course, if you haven't got a seatbelt on, gravity is defied and you rise up and you'll bang your head off the roof, as it were, you know. And in fact, about a couple of years ago, I was on a flight in America. I do fly a fair bit. My worst case myself was I was flying over the Rockies, a place called Snowmass, and in a little propeller plane, and it was severe turbulence, and I was scared. Even the masks came down, and luckily we were strapped in. You know, the pilot told us everybody strap in anyway. And you get that was the mountain type, but still, you know, I did a bit of a fright. Now, they're the three types. Then light, moderate, severe. It's the severe we're talking about, obviously enough. And the big question then has become, partly because of these two incidents, although let's make it clear these were random, it's not as if they're happening every week, the consensus is climate change is making it worse, especially the clear air type. And the evidence for that was the past 40 years worth of data. Now, this is the great thing about science as well. You get loads of data, all the examples of turbulence. There were 65,000 planes experienced moderate turbulence in this period, 5,500 at severe turbulence. The data was fed into the computer recording all this, and then they did notice an increase actually over the time frame, over the 40 years. But more importantly, they fed into the computer what if global warming increases, which it is increasing even more, and what if carbon dioxide in the atmosphere goes up, these would impact on turbulence, and the projections are there will be an increase in severe turbulence. Now, they're having trouble saying how soon this will happen. It's of the order of years and years, decades probably. We'll see it more and more as the years go by. One thing I read was over the Atlantic, the records show you'll probably experience 10 minutes of quite severe turbulence as you cross the Atlantic. That's predicted to go up to 30 minutes in the coming years. Now, very simply, the way to handle this is keep your seatbelt on, because that will protect you against this. The planes are not in danger. No plane has fallen out of the sky because of this. And that's because the aeronautical engineers knew decades ago how to protect planes in different situations. Some of that my mate was telling me came from the military. Can you imagine these jets flying into turbulence? They'll go all over the place. So they've got ways of stopping the plane falling out of the sky and being really damaged. So it's not a question of the plane suddenly falling to earth. It's more a question of the people inside the plane. But if they can predict this, this is the big challenge. Can you predict it happening? Now, the analysis showed in 28% of turbulence-related accidents, there was no prediction. It couldn't be warned about. So the pilot couldn't go, oh, there's a little light going on, everybody strap in. In 28% of cases, that wasn't possible. And of course, the weather scientists and meteorologists, this is a big area for them. Because if you can predict it, you can keep your seatbelt on. I think what's going to happen, though, is we're going to keep our seatbelts on anyway. And in fact, they say that on the planes, don't they? Even though the lights come off, if you're seated, please try and keep your seatbelt fastened because of this unpredictability of it, I guess. And that's certainly advice worth taking. So the hope is the science would improve and these things can be predicted, especially if climate change is going to make it worse. None of us want to be in that situation that happened with those two flights. Now, again, to reassure people, it's very rare. Right. Even though these things seem to happen within a few days of each other, as if to say, oh, good Lord, climate change is now biting. That doesn't seem to be the case. There were 163 serious injuries between the years 2009 and 2022. So it's very, very few, and millions of people flying. And sadly, 80% of them were the flight attendants. And what's happening, partly I've noticed, is the flight attendant unions are getting on board now, saying, look, hang on a minute, we've got to protect our workers in these situations. But still extremely rare. No need for concern now. Buckle up. The advice now is keep your seatbelt fastened. And flying is still one of the safest forms of travel and will continue to be into the immediate future. So there isn't a concern there. But for airlines, and for all of us, I suppose, it's more operational. Because if a plane is flying into turbulent airflow, it might divert out of that, and that means it'll burn more fuel. So if there is an increase in turbulence, and planes have to fly around these zones, that'll have a cost implication for all of us. That's one thing. The second thing I saw was pilots will take control when turbulence is coming or is, you know, happening, and they get tired. It's an exhausting thing. I've often wondered what the pilots are doing during this turbulence, but they have to concentrate a lot and they must get a bit of a fright, I suppose. So pilot fatigue is, although they're very well trained, obviously, pilot fatigue is an issue here. And another thing I saw was you can still have a child in your lap on some planes. They're going to stop that, it looks like, because that's pretty unsafe if the child is in your lap. So it looks as if what's happening anyway is keep your seatbelt fastened is the message here, but don't be too scared. Now, clearly, this will keep being monitored. If climate change is increasing it, will that be a feature? One confounding variable in the studies was there's a lot more flying happening anyway. So the odds of it happening are higher. Nothing to do with climate change. It's just more flights. But still, it'll be an area now that'll watch. Let's keep an eye on it in the coming months, I suppose. But as I say, it looks as if these two events were pretty random. Nothing to worry about now. But yet again, as scientists, we must keep an eye on things and keep an open mind to see if there is a trend. And if it is speeding up, and let's just see what happens next. But there's no evidence for that at the moment. No need to worry. No need to stop flying. And of course, what we'd love to happen now is the science on why it's happening anyway, why you get severe turbulence. Can you imagine if you can predict it 100% of the time, then the problem will go away because the planes can prepare people as they move into that turbulent zone or indeed fly around it. So lots of science will happen, I predict, and continue to happen in the area of the science of turbulence. And as I say, very topical given those two recent incidents that were reported. And all the best to anybody who was injured, of course, and our sympathies for the person who died as well. So thanks as ever for listening. That was The Science of Turbulence. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production and is available for download every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts. And hopefully you'll tune in again next week, and all the very best.